All right, then. Let's settle it once and for all. Is it half empty or half full? I grew up poised between those extremes. At one end of the table sat my mom. Abject poverty and abuse of every kind left her glass half empty at the best of times. But my dad was more than half full. He had grown up desperately poor as well, but so much love and affection was poured out upon him in his family that it drowned out all that was wanting in his early life. And between them, my mum and my dad, they wanted my sister and me to see more. More than glasses, half empty or half full. They tried to teach us to live in such a way that we wouldn't even see the glass, only the abundance of blessings that God was constantly pouring out for us. So we learned, Kelly and I, that how you see this glass has everything to do with how you live your life. And whether you see God's blessings poured out for you. Because how you perceive this says something about whether you see your life through the lens of scarcity or abundance. For the half empties among us, there can never be enough. Every drop needs to be cherished because there might not be any more. But for the half fulls in our midst, the contents of this glass are a gift. And there's less concern about the glass becoming empty because we know that more is just one blessing away. For the half empty, sharing this glass and its precious contents creates a dilemma. Because if I give some to another, there might not be enough left for me. But for the half full, every drop of this glass is an invitation to give, because experience has taught that there is always enough. And yet, look, despite your perspective, still this glass and its contents are exactly the same. So what's the answer? Is it half empty? Or half full. The point is not just that perception is everything. The point is that our perception determines our reality. The point is that there really are two glasses, and every moment of our lives is a choice, whether we are going to perceive our lives as half full or half empty. Whether we see the fullness of God's blessing or the emptiness of what we think we should have or should be. This is where the parable in today's gospel begins, with a choice of how God's people will perceive God's blessing in their lives. The crowd sitting on the beach, listening to Jesus with rapt attention, knew all about the difficulties of the harvest. Their experience of sowing and reaping was worse than half empty. It was an experience of mostly wasted. They knew all about a sower going out to sow. They saw it happen. They did it year after year. They knew that seed was usually sown by scattering it in every direction. The sower would walk along and toss seed everywhere. And the land was plowed later, after it had been sown. So this meant that when you were scattering the seeds, it was virtually impossible to tell what sort of soil it would land on. It all looked pretty much the same from the perspective of the sower. So everything that Jesus said about the challenges of the harvest: shallow soil, choking weeds, ravenous birds. All of this would have been painfully obvious to his listeners. So if the point of the parable was about the difficulties of sowing and reaping, Jesus would have been wasting his breath. But that was not what Jesus was revealing to the crowd. They knew that much of their effort was wasted. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I do, especially during this time of pandemic. That a lot of what you do has no meaning, that some of your efforts are wasted, that much of the seed that you sow doesn't bear fruit. You give your time and your effort and energy to all the things that are important in your life, and sometimes it seems as though you can't see any difference that it makes. Don't you think those same feelings were being experienced by the crowd as Jesus was unraveling that parable? And then, just when the crowd is nodding their heads at Jesus' description of how despairing the harvest can be, just when they're convinced that most of their efforts are probably for nothing, Jesus hits them with how plentiful the harvest can be. And what's more, he talks about yields that are more than they can ask or imagine. The crowds listening to Jesus may have experienced a harvest of 6 or 8 or 10-fold if they were lucky. And here is Jesus talking about yields of 30, 60, and 100-fold. Don't you see? What Jesus is inviting the crowds to see is even more mind-bending than half-full and half-empty glasses. It's more than the choice of optimism versus pessimism. It's an invitation to hope through faith. It's a way of seeing the world beyond the fruits of their labors and trusting in God that all of their efforts will bear fruit beyond their imagining. A way of seeing that we are called to scatter the seed, to proclaim to a world that thinks it lives in scarcity, especially during these times, that still we live in God abundantly. In other words, it is our faith that is keeping us together, our hope that makes the difference, that transforms our perceptions and sees each cup that is offered to us not as half empty, not even as half full, but as enough. That is the challenge and the joy of today's gospel. To live your life seeing each moment as a gift, especially now. Not to worry about the fruit that your efforts will bear, not to be preoccupied by the seed that will be scorched or devoured or choked. Not to see your life as half empty or even half full, but to live each moment with an emphasis on the contents of your life, not on the container. What Jesus calls us to is a new way of seeing ourselves, the world, and God. To live in such a way that you don't even see the glass, only the blessings that have been poured out for you. And what that means is that everything that matters to us in the world and in our lives at this moment is a choice. A choice for hope or despair, for action or inertia. In this experience of COVID-19, we can either despair of all that is wanting, or we can count our blessings. At a time when racism and violence is rampant, We can close our eyes because it seems so overwhelming. We can shut our mouths because we're afraid to say the wrong thing. Or we can speak candidly, pray fervently, and act decisively for change. In other words, both joy and justice are choices that we make. I finally got to see my mom this past Friday. She has early dementia and is in a care facility. I hadn't seen her since February, so it was emotional. So I put us both to work. "Mom," I said, "you can help me with my sermon this Sunday." The caretakers had each given us a bottle of water, and I had taken several sips. I held up the bottle. "Mom, is it half empty or half full?" "Neither," my mom said. "There's only a few sips out of it." So I drank some more until it was exactly half. "How about now, Mom?" "It's half empty," she said. I had hoped that she would say half full. I hoped that a lifetime surrounded by my dad's relentless love and optimism, of my sister and me surrounding her with care-filled half-full glasses, might have helped her to see things differently, might have redeemed her desperate beginnings. But they didn't, of course. I can't change how my mother sees things. I can't heal her brokenness. But I can choose to have faith and hope. Amen.